Yo, 1 2 1 2, what it do? It is your boy Skeeter Steve, and welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture. Oh yes, we back in this motherfucker for the one time, and our boy JT is missing. My boy JT, he does a lot for the community, and he is a football coach. And my man, this past weekend, had lost his voice. All bad, though, man. But just stay tuned, though. He's going to be back with us soon. And as you can see, I'm wearing the football jersey and the world most infamous Bang Bang Niner game. So that only means one thing. Football is back, baby. Yes. And what can I say, man? There was a lot of good games today. Very, lot of good games. So one of the most promising games that I definitely did enjoy this past weekend was the Miami and LA Chargers game. Both teams looking promising. Both teams looking very, very sharp. Justin Herbert looking very sharp. Tua looking very sharp, though, but only if Tua can stay healthy. If Tua can stay healthy, I think Miami can go on a run, though. But if Tua don't stay healthy, it would be very, very bad for them.
Get off.
Yes, very, very bad, though. But other than that, though, you know, you have to give congratulations to the Bang Bang Niner game. Putting that beat down, that super beat down on the Pittsburgh Steelers, 30-7. You know what I'm saying? Pittsburgh was coming off a super preseason hype where they went 3-0. And, you know, even the sports bookies had the odds against us, thinking that, oh, the Niners were going to lose. Niners wasn't going to produce. Everybody, oh, Kenny Pickett. And what Kenny Pickett do? He ain't do shit. Kenny Pickett ain't do nothing. Nada. You know what I'm saying, though? So, you know, man, looking forward to this season, man. Everybody looking good, looking healthy. Christian McCaffrey out there doing his thing. Debo doing his thing. Brock Purdy out there slanging that mug, coming off of that injury, looking real good. And, man, I have to say, Brandon Ayuk, breaking out, though. So, I mean, shouts out to them. Another good game was the Baltimore Ravens and the Houston Texans. They put a beat down on the Houston Texans, 25-9. And I ain't going to lie, OBJ looked definitely good out there. And Lamar Jackson definitely deep ball throwing and making OBJ looking good, though. So, I mean, Ravens looking real, real sharp, though, man. And, of course, you know, damn Cowboys beat the Giants, though. But if we're going to be honest, like, who is the Giants? Like, really? The Giants is like a team, like, out here from Las Vegas, like, you playing Bonanza or, like, Western High School.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
Yeah, and that's how I be feeling about them Cowboys. Yeah, y'all 40-piece them, so what, though? But, and y'all gonna feel like y'all gonna go on the run, though, but only time will tell, though. But other than that, though, man, I am just happy that football is back. I'm looking forward to these Mondays, these Thursdays, Saturdays, college football, if you're a fan of college football, and definitely this Sunday, man, so I cannot wait. Well, let's get into it. A lot has went on into the culture, man, very, very a lot, you know, and even so, I wouldn't even call it drama, but let's just say, man, it's just certain people when it comes to the industry. You just need to leave them alone. Let them do their own thing, though. But you already know, before we get into commentary of the culture, we always have to get into our honorable mention. Honorable mention is always something that is great for the culture, whether it's some big or some little, whether it's culture-related or not culture-related, though. But this week's honorable mention goes to none other than Cameron and Mace. They've been having a podcast show, which is super dope, where they talk about sports and hip-hop related things called It Is What It Is. They inked an 8-figure deal for their show, which I think is dope. Cameron and Mace have reached a lucrative deal to bring It Is What It Is talk show to a new home. The pair of the Harlem rappers have reached a deal, you know, a couple weeks back, and they reached an agreement to sign an 8-figure deal with Underdog Fantasy. It Is What It Is partnership with Underdog Fantasy will begin, which right now, in the football season of September, of a total of 18 months with their deal. Although fans will be still able to find the talk show on the Come and Talk to Me YouTube page. Thank you, Nicholas Green of Underdog Fantasy, Cam said in a statement. We appreciate you seeing the true value of it is what it is. And I think it's dope, though, man. And honestly, that just lets you know in this space set what we do, us podcasters, us just reporting on culture and things that are pertaining to the culture, whether it's, you know, music, DJing, sports, entertainment, you know, these things are possible because, I mean, when you look at different aspects of different avenues of people touching on culture and just entertainment industry, man, the possibilities are very endless. Some days you might want to watch Undisputed. Some other days you might want to watch a First Take, or some days you may want to watch a Speak for Yourself. But Cameron and Mace, it is something, they do something totally different that is outside all those realms. They're incorporating hip-hop into it. And then not only that, though, they really giving you their honest opinion, how they really feel. And what's so dope about that show, it's like them giving opinion like as if you're having a conversation with your homies or with your girl, like, you know, about certain topics or certain sports-related topics where, you know, a lot of the people that's on those talk shows that I just named, some are truthful and some are not truthful and some that you just may disagree with. So I just think, honestly, this is just super dope for them, man. So Cam, Mace, here at Lace Rhymes, we definitely salute you for that, man. Go get that bag. Go get that bag, baby. All right, let's get into it. Commentary for the culture, man. A lot has gone on, though, but this one kind of made me excited. Pharrell teases new NERD music and says it reminds him of their first album, In Search Of, which is, I think, is super dope. And In Search Of is a very classic NERD album. I mean, if you never listened to it, go check it out. Like, honestly, for real, really go check it out. Pharrell Williams has been busy with the new role in Fashion World, where he has made his time to revisit a project that has been mostly inactive the past few years. In a conversation with Tyler, the Creator, you know, when they were doing a little talk with GQ Magazine, the Virginia native revealed that though hasn't been much new music of late, he's still cooking in the studio. More specifically, he said he's been working on songs with his band, Chad Hugo and Shay Haley. I'm out here in Paris, said the Louis Vuitton designer. I just ended up doing 12 NERD songs. Elaborating on new material, he told Tyler, listen, you have something to ride to. I mean, look, I told you, there are big choruses, you know, but out of nowhere, it'll just come out of nowhere with a 3-bar crazy nut chord that'll go 3-4 bar to bar and 8 bars. Look, man, you know what, though? Honestly, I'm here for it.
Oh, my God.
Because we haven't got a NERD album since 2017 when he did Lemonade with Rihanna. Just Don't Do It with Kendrick Lamar. That album was amazing. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it was just a long time hearing from NERD. And NERD, their sound always been very, 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 very different and just psychedelic. Like, they put me in a modern. If they remind me of anything, I would say NERD would have to be the new age Parliament Funkadelic, where every time when they drop music, the sound is different and they're always experimenting with new things. And that's why I think we are fans of NERD, because we're always going to get a different sound. You know, you might get some hip hop beats, you might get some jazzy beats, you might even get some rock beats. And I think that's the reason why we liked it In Search of so much, because it was a little bit of rock infused with hip hop, though, but also fused with, like, you know, fusion sounds, psychedelic sounds. Like what I said, gave me that Parliament Funkadelic feeling where you're just experimenting with different sounds. So if this is definitely true, for real, we are definitely here for it. We are definitely here for it. All right, next up, this has been brewing. This has got some drama written all over it, but I wouldn't even say drama. I would just say, we know this man is a GOAT, but why y'all still be playing with him? You know what I'm saying? Why y'all still play with this man's name? So, a couple days ago, Somebody linked out an old verse of Kendrick Lamar giving bars to Big Sean, J. Electronica, and French Montana on a leaked song. Like, yeah, definitely a leaked song. And, you know, comes from that era of the you know, 2017, end of 2017, going into 2018. I want to believe, you know, Damned has came out. Black Panther, the movie, has came out. So, I mean, it was a lot, definitely a lot going on. And I just think that, you know, he has something to say, though, because, you know, everybody was upset about the whole Control verse, and everybody was crying about it, though. But let's get into it. Let's get into it, what Kendrick had to say about this, man. Like, I was, woo.
Get your puberty up, then make you a classic album before you come at us. Drinking with milk beef, but got you gassed up. But now I'm a whole other beast, I really fuck you up.
Oh, now some folks saying that this is real. Some folks saying that this is AI. But personally, my opinion, I'm going to say that it's real because all receipts started pulling up. You know, where Kendrick Lamar, when he had that crazy run, and you know, he is a goto with that crazy run he was going through, but a lot of people were taking shots though, and they felt like, you know, they were a better rapper than him. And French Montana was one of them. French Montana said in a 2020 interview in Complex, in which he claimed that he has more hits than the Pulitzer Prize winner Kendrick Lamar. And he said, I mean, honestly, if you could put somebody like Kendrick Lamar next to me on the stage at a festival, I might outshine him. Not because I'm a better rapper or whatever it is. It's just that I got more hits. French Montana, I like your music, bro, but we haven't heard nothing from you since Lockjaw from Kodak Black. Let's just be real with that. I'm just going to be honest with you, bro. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, and when we're going hit for hit, Kendrick has more hits than you, bro. And then we saw the whole cover up when Big Sean got interviewed by Joe Budden a few years back, and Joe Budden asked him about the issue with Kendrick Lamar. He really said there wasn't no issue, though. But by this leaking, was there really an issue? Was you still feeling a certain type of way? Because we all know before Damn had came out and when The Heart Part 4 came out, when he said Hall of Fame, sit your bitch ass down in that line, we knew who Kendrick was talking about. And he was talking about you. And when ever since that Heart Part 4 came out, you didn't have nothing to say. Kendrick pretty much damn near ran that year. And then towards the end of the year, you came out with a little couple of tracks with Metro Boomin. It was all right. But, I mean, come on, bro. This is rap. We're all creatives. And sometimes being a creative, you really can be sensitive about the shit. And I get it. I totally get it. Because, I mean, B-boys, I'm a breakdancer, too, so B-boys are the same way. When it comes to craft and when it comes to shit that you do, you're very, very sensitive to it, especially if you feel like somebody cooked you or somebody outshined you, you know? And if you said there wasn't no issue, why we haven't gotten that collab from you guys again? The last collab that we got was Control, and I mean, that sent everybody in an uproar. And you know, and it did. He did it. Don't get me wrong, Sean. Big Sean definitely did his thing, though, but we all know Kendrick took over that track and, you know, beasted the whole thing. We're to the point, did nobody really care about Big Sean or J. Electronica? You know what I'm saying? And we're not even going to get on J. Electronica. He came out with an album during right before the pandemic had hit. Anybody still listening to that? I mean, I'm just saying, is anybody listening to that?
And if
that?
You don't know, now you know.
Like, clearly, if you don't know, but now you know, with the album that damn near have Jay-Z all over it.
Oh, my God!
And we felt like that was Jay-Z album more than Jay Electronica album. Let's just be honest. Though, man, but I mean, if Kendrick would have dropped that, it would have been over. Like, literally would have been over. Like, y'all wouldn't have had nothing to say. And honestly, y'all wouldn't try to test this man anymore, because you know the lyrical ability is there. And that fits the perfect timing of, you know, him damn and the damn album, then him executive producing Black Panther. Then that was the same beat that, you know, SOB rapped over, you know, on that soundtrack. So, I mean, that fitted perfect. And Kendrick was on a crazy run around that time, you know. Damn tour, him making a cameo of 50 Cent show, Power with Ghost, which was super popular around that time. Like, Kendrick was on a crazy run. And I'm just going to say, if that was supposed to drop, yeah, you niggas would have been in trouble. But more of the story is, leave that man alone. Leave that man Kendrick Lamar alone, man. Like, for real. The dude, like, he has a fucking ill rapping ability. And that's the reason why a lot of people don't want no parts of him. Like seriously. All right, moving on. Schoolboy Q did an interview with Back on Fig. And he said something that was very, very profounding. And I want you guys to check this out. Give this a listen.
So, like, people look at this shit as a sport. And we never looked at it as a sport. We looked at it as this is our life. Like, me talking about our situations, like, you know, the shit we done been through. Homies been lost to the system or to the streets or to whatever. It's not a sport. Like, me talking about my mama trauma from one of our own brothers is like, can't compare that to somebody like that won an NBA championship. Like, right. Motherfuckers don't even know they self, don't even, let alone to express it. And you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when it comes to music, I don't look at it as like, oh, you gotta drop every year. You gotta drop every. I'm like, no, your favorite rapper has to drop every year because he needs chili.
Yeah.
I do what I want because I move off peace. I move off my experiences. I move off art. And that means if I have to slip a little bit with some chili, that's cool. Just get on your business real quick.
No, because that's the thing. The motherfuckers be saying, niggas, they don't like niggas that drop every 4-5 years.
I don't care. You that's the mean? Thing. Because when I was in the studio with Rocky and them, and when we didn't have no fans, what didn't nobody care when we dropped?
Right.
And we were making it, and you got Brand New Guy, and you got Hands on the Wheel. Then you got Oxymoron. You got these things. Like, you get what I'm saying?
I have to applaud him on that. So, and what he was saying was very profound. So, which leads into the next topic. Do artists need to drop an album every single year? Personally, my opinion, I would say no, they wouldn't have to drop every single year. But the problem is with hip hop, and I want to say even like with rap, we live in a day and age where it's all like people gotta have it. They gotta have it now. Give me. Please. I gotta have it. Like a fiend on a crack pipe. Like, seriously, like a fiend on a crack pipe. Where to the point where you have certain artists that we love that's always constantly dropping every single year. And the quality and the quantity is getting lower and lower and lower and lower and lower, where to the point we don't want to hear from them because they're always dropping every single year. Back then, when people did process of an album, it normally take 2 years, maybe three at the most, because they're artists, they are creators, they're putting their all into it. They want to make sure that, you know, The sound is right. The production is right. Is the bars hitting? Okay, do I put this song on here? But I like that song, so I want to take this song off and put that song on there. But what if this song aligns with this song in the beginning, and then it goes with this song in the middle? You know, really taking your time with the craft. Now, I get it. A lot of people were upset and were mad at Kendrick Lamar because he took, you know, 5 years. But within those 5 years, he let you know on the album he was just going through a lot. You know, death of Nipsey, had personal issues with his fiance. And then not only that, though, he straight up told us that he literally had a 2-year writer's block. Same thing with Schoolboy Q, and even Schoolboy Q on that interview, check out Back on Fig if y'all never checked it out. He even said it, Crash Talk was his least favorite album. But you got to think, around that time when Crash Talk and the reason why he pushed it back, you know, he said he was drug heavily, he was depressed. Even one of his closest homies, Mac Miller, had passed away. So, you know, when you in that creative or in that thought process and when certain things going on, you don't have the juices in your body to create. And I think sometimes where you're constantly always dropping every single year, to me, in my opinion, you're taking the creative juices away from you as an artist. So my per se on this, yo, it's cool to wait. You could do features here and there, but go ahead, man. I want that anticipation. Like, I want to wait. You know, right after Tyler, Creator did Igor, he waited about, like, you know, 2.5, maybe 3 years. He gave us Call Us If You Get Lost. And then the following year after that, he had Chilled. Kendrick Lamar came out. And then right after that, earlier this year, he gave us a deluxe version of it with extra 8 songs. So he technically took a year off, and then came back again and gave us some bonus joints after, you know, he did his thing with his album. I think that's cool. You know? Cardi B, she just dropped a single with Meg Thee Stallion called Bongo. She's been going about a good solid 4 or 5 years. She hasn't really, in her process of creating, but she has just been doing features here and there. So to me, as a consumer, I think it is okay just to let us sit and wait. Let us sit and wait. Like, you know, so it builds up that anticipation. Because, I mean, when you have a fan base, in my opinion, your fan base ain't going to go nowhere. It was the same thing with Travis Scott, Astroworld. He chilled for about a couple of years, and then this summer he gave us his album. And the album is smoking, in my opinion. You have some people that like it and have some people don't, though. But the fact that he made us wait, I love that. I love that about an artist when they make us wait for the music. So I'm here for it. Schoolboy Q, you definitely made valid points on that. So I would have to agree. Artists, you don't necessarily have to drop every single year, man. Like, you know, take that time out. Take that time out. You know, get your mind right. Create. Because we're going to be here. And for the real fans, the real core fans, they're not going to leave because they're going to appreciate it. They're going to tell you if they're going to like it. And they're going to tell you what they don't like. But other than that, though, they're just happy because, you know, you're giving us something to wait on and building up that anticipation. And we always love a good build-up. We do. If you want to sit up here and try to say that you don't, as the new kids would say, you're tweaking. You're tweaking. You're definitely tweaking, man. So I mean, I'm definitely here for that. I'm here for the wait for any artists that come out. And Schoolboy Q, definitely valid words, bro. And I agree with you. You don't have to necessarily come out every year, just like what you said. Your favorite artist can do that though, but sometimes when your favorite artist is doing that, you know, it's taking away their creativity, taking away the quality, and taking away the quantity. You know, it is what it is. That's how I feel. You know, said what it need to be said. Straight up. All right. Let's get into it, man. Let's get into these sneakers. All right, first up, Saucony, super underrated sneaker, man. And I just have to say, the Saucony Grid Shadow 2 OG is finally back. Oh, yes. When it comes to the Saucony heritage, the Saucony Grid Shadow 2 OG, somewhere at the top of the list, a fan favorite from the 90s, the Saucony Grid Shadow 2 is making a return in the OG form. Preview below of the outfit of the 2023 iteration of the 97 Classic, respected and admired for decades. This model is given a premium makeup and consisting of Mace Best pair with pigskin suede and grain leather overlays and three reflective hits. Whereas the shoe original was known for the high performance and capabilities of technological examiners, which I always say, Sacconis always have a comfy shoe. The Shadow 2 OG reintroduced materials that combine styles and functionality, and the shoe will be retailing at $130 and will be dropping this fall. Man, dog, like, this shoe is amazing. Saucony's always been known for, to me, always having that, you know, them undercover gems. Because, I mean, growing up in middle school and even the first 2 years of my high school, Saucony's always been an undercover gem and always been just, like, a super dope shoe that always had ill different models from the Saucony Jazz, the Saucony 5000, the Saucony's 6000, and even with their running lines, of their sneakers. So, but to see the Grid Shadow 2 OG making its return, and I'm just loving this royal blue suede on there. And of course, you know, Saucony has that silver on all their shoes, and I just feel like the silver is like their trademark, you know, of pretty much like, you know, hey, this is us, this is our brand, and this is what we do. And $130, not bad. It's not bad at all. Definitely a undercover gem and a super sleeper, in my opinion. Definitely, in my opinion, a super sleeper. And if you don't have no Saucony's in your sneaker repertoire, I'm going to just be like, yo, you ain't no sneakerhead. Plain and simple, in my opinion. I said what I said, and I'm going to talk that shit. Plain and simple. So, yeah, man, this is super dope. And I would have to say it would be a cop for me. Definitely a cop for me. All right. Moving on. Moving on. And I'm kind of happy about this one because for many, many years with the Jordan brand, we always get numbers 1 through 14 every rep. And we barely get anything past a 14, though. But I'm honestly very, very excited for this one because Jordan says Air Jordan 17 will be returning in 2024. And the colorway that is going to be turning up first is the Varsity Red. Earlier this year, the fans of the Air Jordan 17 were excited to learn that the silhouette will be returning in 2024. Little do they know, Jumpmans have bigger plans for the 17 signature shoe to include mid-top styles like the Varsity Red. 2024 could be very the year of the Jordan 17. Even Amon Mounir are helping the sneaker get back on its feet, but likely extension slate of collaborations of this model be revisiting a several iconic appearances, such as above mentioned, the Varsity Red, OG Varsity Red, offering that first hit shells back in 2002. Damn, showing my age, so man. But yes, I'm definitely excited for this one because, like what I said, throughout the years we always get 1 through 14. We got a couple of here and there. We had got some 15s here and there, got some 16s, you know, but rarely got the 17s. So, but I'm definitely here for the 17s. 17s was very monumental in that 2002 year. My freshman year of high school. Yeah, I'm showing my age right now, though. But, yeah, this shoe was super dope. And I would have to say when this shoe had dropped, it definitely had a lot of people in the chokehold. But this Varsity Red and White 17 is sleek, super smooth, and just super dope. And honestly, it's going to feel good to have a Jordan other than the 1 through 14s on the shelves and definitely this on the shelves. So, I mean, I'm excited. 2024, yes, be on the lookout for the Varsity Reds. So, all right, next up and last up for our Can We Kick It, we have the 2000 Inspire ASICS GT2060. The arrival of the ASICS GT2160 could not have come at a better time. The JL Kayano 14s, which I did a sneaker review, check it out on my YouTube page. Obviously, cooking the retail level, ASICS positioned to increase traction on the rim of the 2000s Inspire running shoes. The GT2160 was made that effort, and it's not arriving energetic colorway to depart from the silver heavy options. Now appearing in a brick dust colorway, the ASICS GT2160 sees a fade orange accent of the tail cap and square overlays of the heel quarter of familiar oyster gray. Tinted breeze and an outer mesh of interior lining, white back foos of the heel mesh, adding cooling effect of icy arctic blues outside. Currently released and expected to be dropping this fall, so be on the lookout for that maybe around October, November per se. And it's going to be up for $120 on ASICS.com, which is not a bad price. But like what I said, ASICS really has been doing their thing, though, man. Like, you know, with the gel light threes, gel light fives, the gel 1130s, and even the gel Kayano 14s. Like ASICS been on a little run because, you know, everybody been on this hype on running shoes, or quote unquote, what they're calling it, the dad shoe, which I don't honestly think is a dad shoe. Shoe is a shoe, plain and simple. A sneaker is a sneaker. That's how I look at it. Nothing more and nothing less, though. But other than that, though, I mean, the 2160 is super dope. Like, of course, you know, ASICS have that silver standout on all their sneakers with a little bit of color, though. So, you know, you got this bright orange, a little bit of the of their photo cactus at the bottom with the black and, of course, with the silver. And I think it's dope. Will it run true to size? I think it's going to run true to size. And it's a sneaker that you could possibly wear all day. I think you could wear this absolutely all day. Like, definitely in my opinion. Like, because, like I said, I have a pair of the Kayano 14s. Super, super comfy. A super, super comfy sneaker. And I'm looking at grabbing another pair of Kayano 14s and two pairs of the 1130s. So, yeah, man, I think it's super dope, though. But this is a closing of our Can I Kick It segment. So we have reviewed the Jordan 17s, the Saucony OG Grid Royal Blue and Silver, and the ASICS GT2160, which they all gonna be dropping this fall. So let us know in the comments if it's a cop or a drop for all these three. We're gonna have pictures, and definitely you're gonna be seeing what we're talking about, though. So, man, like, let us know and continue to support and subscribe to the channel. Tell a friend that tells a friend that tells a friend. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get into it. Check the ROM. You know, there's some good music out. Definitely these three albums really, really definitely surprised me. Definitely surprised me, though. But the first one that definitely surprised me, and you know what? And I'm kind of mad that a lot of people is not talking about this album. And I'm being honest. Like, really, really not talking about this album. And this album was phenomenal. And let's just put it out there, he's a basketball player. We are talking about none other than Damian Lillard, a.k.a. Dame Dollar. And he dropped an album called Don Dollar. Don Dollar is 15 tracks long, 46 minutes long. And I must say, man, this album is banging. Like, literally banging. From beginning to end. And you know, definitely, man, definitely, definitely banging. And his just wordplay is just super crazy. We open up with the first track, Lillard University. Man, this. Woo. Down, played me for a joke, they wasn't woke. I'm laughing now. Lessons was never verbal and class was never canceled. Life for me ain't been a crystal stair. The example, I knew he wouldn't lead me astray. I read the manual, he say, if you get a little, make the most of what they hand you. Seen cash passed around, but sitting on the scale. Tension and the friction, man, I knew that shit too well. Oh, man. Lillard University was just amazing. And then after when you get coming off from the opener, Lillard University, he goes into, man, I Ain't Perfect. Woo-wee, this was just, man.
Look at the accolades, tell me what could make me greater. Speaking to my therapist weekly, I need my dose of that. Lord, you know the facts, I prop up the family like they some shoulder pads. A flawed man with pure intentions, gotta know my ass. They see I signed the extension, he got a load of cash. A boy dad can't get my sons what I got in me. All I got is principles and some philosophy. They knocking me, but secretly they really rock with me. I'm the reason a lot of folks got a pot to pee. When I went
And then right after that, you get into Noble with Rick Ross and Cy Ari the Kid, The Way It Goes. Don Dada with Rex Life Ross. Mike Bean with Brookfield Dose. And then right after that, you get into The One. And I think with The One, he definitely did a great job and he held his own with Lil Wayne on the track, though. Like, seriously.
Yeah, got a bad old nigga.
Wayne Chop.
Chanel, no laces. Come through racing. Louis Hamilton had back first braided. Bad hoe nigga. Fuck it, I'm wasted. Drop a little dot on that location. Chanel, no laces. 12 gonna chase me. I stop and drop the top on the cop and start waving. Bad hoe nigga.
Wayne super chopped that, though. But it was just dope to hear Dame honing this on with, you know, one of the greatest of all time, which I think it was dope. And then you got Cabo. Is It You? Long Live Free with Mozzie, which was a great one. Paid in Full with Toby. My Daddy's Son, again with Lil Wayne. Judgment Day, Back Home. And last track, Giant. And I'm not going to lie, this album was super solid. And we all know there are only a few people that can cross into that realm that can actually, you know, play sports and rap. We saw Shaq do it. Kobe did it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And then now we seeing Damian Lillard do it, and I'm gonna have to put Damian Lillard right up next up there to Shaq. I mean, it was a different time frame though, and don't get me wrong, Shaq still got bars. Shaq's still that nigga in this rapping world, and Shaq can rap, like, rap his ass off. But Dame, he definitely did that. Definitely did that. And out of 15 tracks, I'm not going to lie to you, I liked about a solid 9 of them. Definitely solid 9 of them. And the album was super, super dope. And it just, for me, it just bothers me that a lot of people are not talking about this album more than enough. So, yeah, man, this album is just, it's just super, super dope and just super lyrical and him just giving you that substance. So I would have to say, man, like, you know, scale to 1 to 10, I definitely give this album a solid 8. And that's not bad. Super not bad, man. So I would definitely highly, highly recommend you guys to check this album out. Dime Dollar by Dame Dollar. You definitely won't be disappointed. All right. Next up, moving along, going to the Chicago native, Mick Jenkins, The Patience. Mick Jenkins, The Patience. 11 tracks, 27 minutes and 54 seconds long. You know, pretty, pretty good. Starting off with Michelin Star. Michelin Star was a great, great, great beginning and opening up on that. And then right after that, you get into Show and Tell with him and Freddie Gibbs. This was just fire.
Wasn't even trying to outgrow niggas. Sometimes you just outgrow niggas. 1 degree of separation these days. No hesitation, I just be a bit more patient these days. Niggas think we racing Grand Theft Auto, 5-star chase, ain't shit wasted but time. Throwing tomatoes, can't catch up, nigga, I came from behind. Nigga, I made up my mind. Can't give a fuck about a list, which end we burning it at? Loading up magazines like where the real journalists at? OP is quickly turning to trash, we flipping the page. Plenty say.
And then right after that, you get into Sitting Ducks with him and Benny the Butcher. Like, really? What?
Hey, ain't no this? Stopping me. I'm above camp. We apostrophes. Seen all sides and all
all I see isosceles. Pyramid schemes and the atrocities they causing. Ain't no pausing. Ain't enough gauze in the holes in your logic. The optics work like an ox telling everything's gravy. You crazy. Roll up the flower, these niggas keep pushing up daisies. Pour out some cognac, I'm holding a bottleneck. Lazy, boiling back in my seat. Black on my teeth, activated charcoal poison back in the streets. Acclimated Harley, just charged up. Batteries is aggravated, tell them they can't spar with us.
Good, and then right after that, Smoke Breakdance with J.I.D., 007, 2004, Roy G. Biv, Pasta, Farm to Table with Vic Mensa, Guapanese, and Mop. And Mick Jenkins, I have to say this, man. Mick Jenkins has been definitely underrated for a very, very long time, man. And even, like, you know, him busting on the scene. Well, I don't know if he busts on the scene, though, but I got caught with him towards the end of 2013, 2014, when he had dropped his mixtape and had a lot of joints on there. You know, that was super, super dope. And he just been continuing to grow as an artist. And then just not only that, though, I seen he did a collab with my boy out there in Houston, Sean God, which was, I think that was super, super dope. So shout out to my boy Sean God out there in Texas, man. You know what I'm saying? But Ben Jenkins always been one of those underrated rappers, in my opinion. Right next to, you know, people like Smoke Dizza, Saba. And always being, you know, consistent and always gave out a good body of work. Like, very, very good body of work. Because, I mean, not too long ago, during the pandemic, one of the definitely albums that I definitely enjoyed, though, was The Circus. And on that album, he has a song with Earth Gang called The Light. And, yeah, back when I said when I got introduced to him, yeah, that mixtape was called The Water. The Water mixtape was just fucking phenomenal. But so just to see him go from The Water into now his growth is just fucking amazing, man, though. So, you know, definitely Patience is super, super dope. 11 tracks on the album, scale 1 to 10. I'm not gonna lie, definitely give this album a solid 8 too. You know, wasn't bad and it wasn't great either. 11 tracks, I liked about, I'm not gonna lie to you, about a solid 6 of them. You know what I'm saying? But you might enjoy the album more than I did, though. But I highly, highly recommend you to go check out this album, man. You definitely won't be disappointed. Has great lyrical substance. The bars are phenomenal. And even just the production behind it, man, like, was just fucking phenomenal. You know, producers, Bird, Vision, Tyron, you know what I'm saying? Yama, Sato, you know, Stoic, you know, the producers, man, and that's what makes this music so great, because, you know, my slogan, good beats ain't cheap, and cheap beats ain't good. So, yeah, man, go ahead and definitely check that Mick Jenkins album out. You definitely won't be disappointed. All right, last and not but least, Quavo, Rocket Power. Okay, Rocket Power has 18 songs, 51 minutes, and 3 seconds long. And I'm not going to lie, the album wasn't bad, but also I got to be honest with you guys, I wasn't a huge fan of this. But there were certain songs, you know, caught my attention, and it was just super dope. Love the opener, Fueled Up, was super dope. And then, you know, going in right into Patty Cake, you know, with him and, you know, Rest in Peace, Take Off, them trading bars going back and forth. And then right after that, a one that I actually, when I got to this track, I was like, okay, I'm definitely feeling this definitely all the way. And that is Mama Told Me This.
Told me keep the dollars at home. Mama told me not to gamble that shit. Mama told me to do dirt on my own. Cause when niggas tell you can't handle that shit. Nah. Mom used to say, boy, get off of that phone. When them streetlights come on, bring your ass home. My mama told me don't be slamming the dope. Mama caught me chugging out of the stove. Mama told me, yeah, couldn't tell me no. Nah. Mama, she got all the answers you need. Mom. When I got a step, daddy, me and take off.
Just amazing. Then right after that, Who You With, Nicaro Speaks, Homie. Where Do I Start? Wall to Wall. Turn Your Click Up. Back Where It Began. 11-11, Galaxy, Disciplines, Focus with Young Thug, Staying with Huncho, Baby Drill, Not Done Yet, Rocket Power, and then the last track, Greatness. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I didn't get this same feeling from that I got, you know, even though it was them together, Only Built for Affinity Links, and then prior to that, him when he did his first solo album. I think maybe, you know, he was still doing his thing but wanted to put some out, even though, you know, Takeoff is not here, and I don't know if he fully grieved yet, though, but I'm not going to say this album was trash, though, but it was okay. It was okay at most, and a scale 1 to 10, I would definitely have to give this album maybe, I'm just going to be honest with you, a 6.5. You know what I'm saying? I can't trash it all the way through because I am a fan of Migos. I am a fan of, you know, Quavo and Takeoff, though, but I think in this space now, Quavo has to definitely find his own, because we don't know if we're ever going to get a Migos album again in regards of, you know, Quavo and Offset being together and doing an album together. We don't know that, though, but hey, we can still be wishful thinking and allow them to continue to do music and definitely give us music, because us as fans, we want that. I would want that, though, but definitely I would think this, him putting it out, I don't know how long it took him to do this, but it just kind of seemed like it just kind of felt rushed. You know, it wasn't no time put into this, because I want to just say, yeah, literally last year we just got the album with him and Takeoff, Only Built for Affinity Links, and that album is amazing. And I think that album is definitely going to age, and even though despite the death of Takeoff, and then coming back out and dropping something a year later, a solo, I would just have to, me, honestly, I just felt like it was rushed and there wasn't no time to take to really, really create this album. But other than that, though, there are a few standout tracks that I like what I said, though, the track listing is long, and out of the 18, it's about, like, you know, a solid 7 that I liked, you know. And then, like I said, I'm giving it a 6.5. I'm not trashing it all the way through because the album wasn't that bad, though. But honestly, I just feel like the album was very, very rushed. And we just talked about this earlier in the show, you know, with Schoolboy Q, in regards of your artist being an artist, do you need to drop every year? And I think Migos are one of those artists, and now even solo-wise, Offset and Quavo, you don't necessarily need to drop every year, bro. Like you really don't. We're going to rock with you regardless. Even you decide you just want to do features for a year, we're going to rock with you while you're still in that creative process of you creating your own, you know, your own tempo, your own sound, production, and everything. And don't get me wrong, though, too. The production on here was just, you know, it was very, very heavy, you know. Murder Beats, Kenny Beats, DJ Darrell. You know, we always hear DJ Darrell on a lot of stuff. Concept Beat, Concept P, Tweak Tune, Beenix, Beautiful Movement. So you already know. You know the slogan, man. Good beats ain't cheap, and cheap beats ain't good. And that's what make the music so great, because of the beats. You know, beats are everything. It's always everything, and it always been everything. You know what I'm saying, though? So, I mean, if you guys, I still recommend to check the album out. You may like it a little bit better than I do. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's all I'm going to just say. Just go ahead and definitely give the album a listen. You won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed at all. Like, seriously. All right. Man. It is about that time, man, dude, like, coming to an end, man. I do not want to come to an end with you guys, like, seriously, man. But I enjoy being here with you guys always, man. And you know, we're going to bring that consistency back up, because we've been making a couple of changes to the shows, you know what I'm saying? A lot of new things coming to the show, and in regards to the Lace Rhymes movement. So stay tuned. We're going to do more interviews. more different projects, and you're going to be seeing us a lot more around the city, though. So I just say for the day ones, thank you for supporting. Continue to support. Tell a friend that tells a friend that tells another friend. You name it, we own it. You name it, we own it. Spotify, iHeart, Apple, SoundCloud, Podbay, Podbean, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Like, comment, share, subscribe. We the Late Strong Crew. What? And we the Late Strong Crew. What? And we the Late Strong Crew. What? But yeah, man, go over here and check us out on all the platforms. You know what I'm saying? And again, we're going to be celebrating all throughout this episode. Even though it's the 50th year of hip hop, we're going to continue to rock out and celebrate hip hop every single day, because you already know, Lace Rhymes is for the culture and by the culture. And this is your boy, Skeeter Steve. We out. Peace.